Welcome to Hit the Bottle Podcast, a show for beverage sales and marketing professionals looking to up their game and further their careers and businesses. Viewed through the lens of strategy, technology, and leadership, we explore everything from digital marketing, e-commerce, brand building, public relations, and much more. Each week, we chat with industry experts and leaders, explore practical applications, and discuss what's happening in our world. Our goal is to provide you with the insights and strategies you need to create successful marketing programs. Now it's time to hit the bottle. Welcome to Hit the Bottle. I am Emma Criswell, VP of Client Relations with Balzac Communications. And today we are going to have a discussion about some very pertinent happenings in the wine industry, namely sexual harassment and lack of diversity. You name it. It's really blown up recently. So I have brought in two female colleagues to talk to me about this. First, we've got Katie Elswig, who's a native New Yorker and a longtime employee of Co-Brand Wine and Spirits and a self-proclaimed champion of women in the wine business. Katie began her career in wine by accident after quitting her job in the music business, and she became a sommelier in New York City restaurants. Soon after, she was discovered by Co-Brand, and her career has taken her to almost every state in the U.S. She is currently in Portland, Oregon. Hi, Katie. Thanks for being here.
All right. Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. It's my first podcast, obviously.
And we've also got Ms. Karen Ann Selby. She is a hospitality professional and certified sommelier through the Court of Master Sommeliers, an aspiring chef and a proud graduate of the International Culinary Center's Sommelier Intensive. She's worked at more than 10 restaurants and is a hospitality consultant, and has traveled extensively as an independent sommelier, volunteering for events, conferences, and seminars. She's currently continuing her wine education and recently completed her first harvest. Hi, Karen.
Hi. Hi, everyone. So nice to see all of you be on your podcast. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And last but not least, I've got my host with the most, my handy-dandy sidekick, and my favorite male feminist, a president of Balzac Communications, Mr. Mike Wang-Bickler.
I think that's the best introduction I've ever had. Thanks, Emma. Good to be here.
We try to top each other at every one of these. So there is a lot going on, to say it mildly, in the wine industry right now as it comes to sexual harassment and lack of diversity and inclusiveness and equity and equality and all of it. And just, you know, what's going on in your world? Like, what are you seeing? What are you hearing? What's happening?
In my world, a lot is changing. I find myself as one of the only, either one of the only females or one of the only African Americans in a room, especially with, you know, dealing with fine wine and traveling amongst the industry. But a lot is changing, and people are definitely calling on the industry to be more diverse. And I think it needs to happen in a way that's genuine, not in a way that's forced, or in a way that makes people of color that have been working very hard on their careers this entire time, you don't really want to make them feel like you're putting them on a forced platform, so to speak. So a lot is changing, and you know, some of it I agree with, and some of it I think is a little stretched, and I think that people could definitely do more research before just calling on Black people, Black wine professionals to be that voice. Mm-hmm, to fix the problem. Yeah.
I'm feeling that way too. Just it's very similar to what was going on, I feel like, with George Floyd earlier in the year, in that women are kind of being asked to take this on, and people of color are being asked to take this on. And I mean, specifically what is bringing us here today and what the impetus was is the New York Times article on harassment within the court of master sommeliers. And I can't tell you how many people within that certification community reached out to me and were like, oh God, have I done any, like, what do I need to do? Who do I need to reach out to? Like, you know,
if you're asking
COVID, who do I talk to?
I really just think that if you have to ask, you've already done something wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew that article was coming out probably, I want to say, 6 weeks before it came out. And I sat down to lunch with a group of women in the wine business and different facets of the industry and different levels of involvement with the Court of Master Sommeliers. I myself am not involved with the court. I chose to do my wine education through WSET, and joining the court was something that never seemed attractive to me for a million reasons, but probably the top two was that they're, I mean, even today, the court is 16% comprised of women compared with the Master of Wine community, which is 41% women. Yeah. I got that data from Wine Economics. And I think that, you know, when I sat down with these women and were eating lunch and they, you know, kind of led into this conversation about, oh, well, this article's coming out. The first thing out of my mouth was, oh, hey, is it about Jeff Kruth?
Yeah.
And it should come, and the fact that I knew before I even asked, the fact that I think a lot of people knew before it even came out is, you know, everyone knew about this. Everyone knew this was happening. And why did no one say anything until now?
Right.
That's my, and I'm guilty of it. I mean, I had my own experience with Jeff Kruth, and I certainly, this experience has been more of an experience of reflection for me and what I did wrong and how I failed women for a very long time and why I did that. And that's a problem too, that I think needs to be addressed from the very beginning.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that we need to be cognizant of is that it doesn't only happen within the court.
For sure.
Like, I'm sure all three of us have had experiences throughout our careers. I mean, I was having things happen when I was 22 that people have outlined in this article that, you know, at the time when someone stuck their hand up my dress, I was the one who got kicked out of the bar, you know.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that person had nothing to do with the court. It's rampant. And I have had things happen in the past where I've gone to superiors about it and said, hey, this happened, and have been met with, well, we have really good lawyers on retainer. So sorry about your luck.
I was not one of those superiors. I just have to clarify.
Wow.
Okay. To be frank, Mike is the reason I'm still in the wine industry right now. Honest, if I didn't have him as an ally with me at these events and at the places we go, I would have gotten out, because it was just so compounded over the years. And I felt like there was nothing I could do, that I'm just like, I'm going to a different industry. I'm done. There's nothing to make me feel safe here.
That's a really sad statement, that I have to protect you.
No, and but you're right. It's every facet. I mean, you know, it's in restaurants. Mm-hmm. It's on the distributor level. Mm-hmm. It is on the consumer level. I have worked consumer events where people feel entitled to come up to me to, you know, touch my tattoos, to touch my hair.
Yeah.
But Karen knows.
I'll agree.
What that's like.
Yeah, I do.
Karen and her hair. Karen has some really good hair going on right now.
I do know what that's like, for people to want to touch your tattoos or touch your hair or even smell you.
Yes.
Let's be real.
No.
Yeah.
Adjust name tags.
Karen, can you tell us about the time that someone tried to smell you?
I actually can. It was at the Bordeaux event that I worked for you guys and for Balzac. And a gentleman, not someone that worked for Balzac, but someone who was attending the event, who I also see at other wine events, because as we know, New York City wine scene is small.
Yes.
So you see the same people at you know, different wine events. But the gentleman was, and I'm being so respectful by calling him a gentleman, right? The gentleman was following me around to tasting tables, and I knew because I pay attention. So I knew that he was like, you know, kind of just being like a little bit of a creep. And we finally meet at the same table, and we're smelling the wine, and he comes like kind of close, kind of like to my neck. And he just leaned in to like smell me. And he was like, oh, he's like, you smell better than this wine.
God.
That makes me nauseous.
Yeah.
It's this entitlement that people feel to our, like, we're there for their entertainment. We're there as wine professionals and women. We're somehow there as, you know, the court jester. Like, we're there but for
we're not on their same
from
level
from us what right. you want. And that is not the case. I mean,
yeah.
You can't That's just go bad. Around smelling people.
You can't. You can't just go around smelling
That'll
people.
That'll be the title of our white paper that we write.
That's my new line on Instagram.
Absolutely.
That would be a great blog post title.
Wouldn't it? Absolutely. I mean, so we very clearly established this is rampant. What's next? Like, what do we think?
You know, I think there are some very challenging conversations that people have to have with each other and with, you know, their companies and with other, you know, it's very difficult. I work for Cobrand and I love working for Cobrand. And I have to say that Cobrand is owned by women, and a lot of our executive board is made up of women. My mentor at Cobrand from the very beginning was a woman. She made me half the person I am today. So I've been very fortunate to work for this company that is so not only supportive of women, but so protective. I'm so fortunate for that. And I've never been in a situation with Cobrand where I felt undervalued or I felt that I wasn't able to achieve what anybody else around me was achieving. I've been promoted twice in the last 5 years. I've moved from New York to Chicago to Portland with Cobrand. And so I'm really fortunate for that. But we deal with so many other people on the distributor level, on the consumer level, with buyers, with other suppliers. And so that's like kind of where it all happens. In the beginning of my career, I was definitely on the distributor level. There's some real special people floating around out there. And I had a situation in Wisconsin where somebody he's no longer employed by the distributor had said something wildly inappropriate to me. And I kind of chose to move on from that. And I think the question was, why did I feel like I wasn't empowered to say something when everything around me tells me that I am empowered to say something, but still I chose to be silent. I later found out a few weeks ago that same person was accused of actually physically assaulting a woman. So now sitting here with that knowledge, did I fail? Did I fail to say something and then cause someone else to get hurt? And I don't know what the answer to that is.
Yeah. I feel like that's kind of where all of our minds go to is what could we have done better? We are by default kind of go to the nurturer side. How could we have fixed this when, why is it not on them?
Right. And that's the same thing that we're all saying of like, why are we putting this on women? Mm-hmm. You know, why are we putting this on Black people? Why are we making us fix the problems that somebody else caused?
Yeah.
Here's a message from our sponsor.
Mike, you're a guy.
Yes. Oh, I'm told.
Tell us what'll resonate with the male population in the wine industry. And granted, you know, just let me say that Mike, when we were ordering t-shirts after RBG passed, he's the one who ordered the t-shirt that said women deserve to be in every room where decisions are made. So he's a little skewed.
I am.
But...
Well, you know, it's, Katie, it's your point, you know, having women executives and a women run business in the wine business is very unusual. You know, it is still a male dominated industry, especially at that executive level. And really, until we start to see more women in executive positions, you know, these kinds of problems are going to continue to be nurtured by the establishment. You know, now there are many allies out there for women's issues among a male population, but not enough. So really, I think it's the responsibility of me and, you know, other men in my position to point out that this is wrong and that we need to fix it. Right. The fact, because I mean, really, the fact is that we lose out on so much as an industry, as a society, when we relegate women to these, subject women to these situations, right? Because as you say, Katie, like, you went WSET instead of court. And based on the New York Times article, there were so many women who have left the court to either leave the industry or, you know, take a different path. And I just think about the richness in the number of voices and ideas and creativity that we've lost because of that. And it breaks my heart. So moving forward, we really need to recognize the fact that we are lesser for these issues.
Yeah. It's a lot. But Karen, you went through the court for your certification.
I did go through the court for my certification. However, I feel like my quartermaster's experience in comparison to a lot of other people's quartermaster's experience is different because I went to International Culinary Center. So International Culinary Center put me in a safe space. It put me in a room with, the course started out with 15 of us. And then, you know, by the second week, it was only 11 of us. And half of us were women. And the Dean of Wine Students at International Culinary Center, Scott Carney, who was on the board for the court, he was an awesome leader. He was an awesome teacher. And Elizabeth was the assistant for the wine program. And she currently works for Verity. And she's also a WSET as well. And she's also a quartermaster's. And she's fantastic. And I just, nothing out of the ordinary happened through my 200-hour training at International Culinary Center. That 4 months was very intense. And I never felt like being a woman, I was less than. Definitely being the only colored person in a room, the only Black woman in a room, definitely still resonates with me. But I never felt less than, you know. And when I took the introductory and the certified through the quartermasters, I had the comfort of taking it at my school. So I had just graduated from that program, got a certification from International Culinary Center, and then 1 week later, I sat through intro, and 2 days later, I sat through certified. So it was almost at, and you know, when you're sitting through intro, 60 people in a room, you know, we giggled. We were like, that was like our study guide, because all the extensive exams that we just took through ICC's program, the intro for the court was really like a study guide for us. And you know, we dominated the room. We had an AM and a PM course. And so out of the 60 people, 30 of maybe 25 to 30 of those students in that room were from ICC. And the rest of the room was from all over the country. So as far as testing was concerned, I didn't feel that pressure. I just felt like I had to do a good job. It felt very equal. But I really do pay that to International Culinary Center. Mm-hmm. I don't really pay that to the quartermasters, because if I did just take the intro and certify through the quartermasters, mm-hmm. I would not feel as passionate about wine as I do. I would not be as knowledgeable about wine as I am. Most of my volunteer work, seminar work, and wine activities have come through the ICC alumni network. Quartermasters never sends me an email, you know, here's this opportunity for you. Yeah, I pay a lot of that respect to ICC, and that's why I always shout them out.
Hmm. Well, I'm glad that you had that different experience. And
Yeah.
We make everyone's experience, you know.
But it's very, it's
right.
It's very interesting that you have to point out that nothing out of the ordinary happens.
Right.
Like that's a note. That's a note that you need to make.
Right.
And that's a problem. That's an issue.
Right. I know. As a traveling, I live in Pennsylvania and I work in New York. Live in Pennsylvania and I work in Southern Maryland, right? So I travel a lot. So I'm usually solo. And if it weren't for my stronger personality, I really do feel like I would have stepped out the lion's den of a industry.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. I mean, I'm not fearful, but that's just my personality, really. And, you know, if someone says something inappropriate to me or is acting in a way that just is a little off, you know, I made a decision a while ago that if I'm not going to be uncomfortable to make you comfortable is what I'm not going to do. If we're both going to be uncomfortable, then that'll be it. I'm going to call you out right now. I'm not going to look the other way, you know? And if someone's like kind of like creeping or whatever at an event, and you meet up at a table, you know, and you feel like the conversation's going too long, or you feel like they're pressing up on you in a way that's inappropriate, calling them out on that and letting them know that you're very much so aware of what's happening will kind of pump those brakes like right there. But every person is not confident enough and strong enough with their personality and and people go through other experiences. So like, you know, depending on who you are and where you are in your journey, you may not be comfortable enough to say, excuse me, may I help you? You know, or, you know, like just, or keep it moving. Or, no, thank you. I'm not interested in that. And right. just, and move forward. Everyone's not comfortable enough to do that. So I do understand that.
And, I mean, it goes back to having a standard set across the industry that type of behavior isn't appreciated or accepted at these events, you know, no matter what's going on, no matter how much wine you're having, no matter where you are, just human decency is necessary to everyone you interact with.
Just
believe that.
Like the bar is so low.
The bar is so low right now.
The bar is so low. Like, just be decent and you're already.
Yeah.
Well, sorry.
Go ahead.
Mike. I mean, you know, I think that you know, obviously this dynamic is a systemic issue in the business. But the thing that was so shocking about the New York Times article and the, you know, the people who are mentioned in that is the abuse of power, right? Mm-hmm. It was this power differential that these people basically, these predators used as a means of exercising their will on people who are vulnerable. And, you know, that to me it's unacceptable. It just, I mean, it's made worse by the fact that so many people have overlooked it, including me. You know, I'm a male, you know, I'm a white male in today's society. There are a lot of things that I just don't see because I don't want to see them. And I have to make a conscious effort to say, okay, is this normal behavior or should I do something about this?
I think that it goes back to what you said earlier, that we need women in executive positions. We need more women in positions of power that can take the rest of the women with them. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that one of the reasons why I was so unwilling and hesitant to say anything was because selfishly, I felt like it would affect the trajectory of my career and it would affect me getting into where I am now, which I do consider myself to be in a position of power. And I think that now it's my responsibility to repent for that, to make up for the years of silence and putting up with all of that by not allowing it to happen to other people and to lift women up. You know, I think that we have to break through and get to the other side and then hold the door while everyone else walks through. And we have to stop being of, you know, women are guilty of this too, is thinking that, you know, if I got here, I have to keep somebody else out because there's only room for me. No, there's room for fucking all of us. Can I curse?
Yes.
Oh, great.
We have editors. Yes,
now I have to put the explicit on the...
There is room for everyone at the finish line in this industry if you work hard and you know what you're talking about and you're decent to other people. And we have to stop thinking that if, you know, as women, that if we get there, that's it. No, if you get there, you turn around and you bring somebody else in too. It's the most important thing because that's the only way that we get from 16% women in the court of who are master somms to flipping that around and to be 50% women. The other women have to do the heavy lifting here.
Right.
I would love to add to that.
Yeah.
So it is actually very challenging to get a female mentor, someone who really wants to teach you the ins and outs and uplift you, especially if you have a stronger personality. Mm-hmm. It's very, very challenging. So I could see also why some vulnerable females would be leaning more towards finding a male mentor and falling victim into certain things, because when you look around for a female mentor, sometimes it's really hard to find one. And it's really enlightening. I've been studying like WICT, just like how to get into it. And it's really enlightening to hear how many female masters of wine there are. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. Yeah, thanks for sharing that.
And cool ones. We
work with a lot of cool ones.
Yeah, there are some women, you know, Lisa Granick, and oh my gosh, just there's so many people, so many MW women in the States that are just so, to me, it's just so willing to share their knowledge and their passion. And when I was studying WSET, almost all my teachers were women. Actually, I think all of my teachers were women. So it really felt like a more nurturing environment for knowledge. And it makes me really sad to hear that what you just said, that there aren't female mentors out there. I mean, that's
3 years. I'm going on 3 years as a wine professional. I am still yet to have a full-time wine position. And that's mainly because, as well, a lot of advances that are passed, that are offered to me, I decline because I don't feel the genuity behind them. Mm. If I feel like I'm going to have to sell my soul or feel like I'm going to have to do something that I'm not interested in doing, I really don't care for that position and I no longer care for your mentorship. So I almost isolate myself and I share wine the best ways I know how. You know, any opportunity I get, I hop on it. So my somm resume is built up over 60 events that I've traveled for across the country, you know, and as an independent somm. And that's not because I don't want a home as a wine professional. It's because that door has not opened for me as of yet. And it's unfortunate.
Which is incredibly stupid on everybody's part.
Yeah.
Because if anybody's listening to this, who needs to hire somebody, please hire Karen because
Karen's
she's
amazing.
Hello, me on the screen.
And Katie.
Wow. Thank you for being on the podcast with us. We've got to wrap it up. It's a great conversation and there's obviously a lot of work to be done and we can provide guidance, but we're not going to do it for you, fellas.
This is very true.
Yep. Just don't do the thing. If you don't want someone to write a New York Times article about your bad behavior,
don't do the bad behavior.
Right. Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Thanks so much. And we'll see you next time on Hit.
Thank you, guys.
Awesome. Thank you.
Nice to meet you, Karen.
Nice to meet you, too. Bye. Take care.
Keep in touch.
This has been Hit the Bottle, a production of Balzac Communications and Marketing. You can find past episodes on our website at htbpodcast.com. Drop us a line on social at htbpodcast or send us an email to mike@htbpodcast.com or emma@htbpodcast.com. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen. If you like this show, please rate and review in any of the mentioned platforms. Thank you for joining us. Have a great day.